What's up, guys? This is Mike Cashew. This is the Brute Strength Podcast. This week, I interviewed my good friend Bruce Pitcher from ABC's TV show Extreme Weight Loss. On this show, he tells us what drove him to overeat for so many years and exactly how he went on to lose over 200 pounds in a year. This is about the most inspiring story I've ever heard in my life, and I'm excited for you to hear it. What's up, guys? This is Mike Cashew with The Brute Shoot. I am accompanied by a very good friend of mine, Bruce Pitcher. He lost 200 pounds, 18 months ago?
Yep.
And at the end of his, so he was on Extreme Weight Loss, the ABC show, and towards the end of his year with them, he worked with Tommy Hackenbrook. And about 6 months ago, Tommy introduced me to him to do some CrossFit training. And since then, we've become pretty damn good friends. And he's his episode alone inspired me. And the way he lives his life so in such a positive way is incredibly inspiring, considering everything he's been through. So I'm excited to have you on this podcast and hoping it goes well.
It's gonna go well, dude.
So tell them about what you're doing here this weekend.
Okay, so what I'm doing right now is I'm doing a thing called a Destination Boot Camp, and it's about like helping people, you know, like lose weight the way I did. You know, they come out here to Denver where my weight loss journey started, of a 3-month boot camp, and they go through the same kind of stuff that we did. You know, we do like for instance, even today we did 7 minutes of burpees with these people, and there's some people that are like almost 400 pounds. And we're doing burpees on day one, you know, just to kind of give them an idea of really what they can do, you know, and start living the life that they want to live, not just wait till the weight is going to come off, but actually do it now, right. You know, start living it, you know, don't just sit back in the back seat and let the overweight and the fat stop you from freaking doing things you want to do, you know. Every day I always say, like, when I was big, yeah, so what? You know, I would see people try some things. I'd be like, well, why can't I try that? You know, I'm not going to let fat win. So at the end of the day, I'd go like fat zero, me one, you know, like that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's awesome to be a part of this and now to pay it forward for the opportunity that I had to be able to help out people and inspire them as much as I can.
Fucking love it. That's what I'm talking about, that passion right there, dude.
Yeah.
It's awesome. So why don't we just... I want to just let you tell as much of your story as you're willing to, and then just kind of take it from there. What do you think?
Yeah, that sounds good to me. Yeah, I can do that. That's no problem.
Word.
Yeah, so where my story really starts is it starts with me and my dad. And I supposedly thought I had the best dad there was around. I mean, he was a high school football coach. He was coach at all kinds of levels. And he was... considered a great coach and was at a high pedestal, actually, like with the players and the parents and everything. And I thought I had the greatest dad in the world. I mean, it got so big for him that he was nominated for Coach of the Year. And if you win that award that he was going to get, your prize is going to the Super Bowl. And so, like, you know, without a doubt, everybody would say to me, like, you had the best dad there was around. And then one day it all changed. I was in PE class just living my normal life and in high school, and I got called down to the office, and there was a police officer standing there. And he said to me, and I was nervous because I was like, I have not done anything wrong. I don't know what's going on. And he asked me to take a ride with him. So I got in the car with him. I took a ride and we drove to this house, and it just looked like a normal house, like that you would see it anywhere else. And, you know, and we walked in there, and I've never forgot it to this day, you know, what it looked like. It was like a room, had a green couch. So I remember sitting there, specifically a green couch, a corner with a bunch of teddy bears in it, and then a round white table in the middle. And then all of a sudden, I sat down on that green couch. He sat down, reached into his pocket, pulled out a tape recorder, and the first thing he asked me is, has your dad ever touched you inappropriately? And then that day, you know, I lied and didn't say anything about it. You know, I said no. And because I thought this whole time I had the greatest dad in the world, and all of a sudden, all those nominations of everything that my dad had as the greatest coach and this and that, great mentor to so many kids, it all came crashing down in one day. And I remember I went back to the high school, I called my mom, and I said, "Mom, the police just came and took me." And then she told me that, "Well, your dad just got taken off to jail." And it was a living hell for me for a little bit in high school, you know. It was like the biggest case in Utah, you know. And so it was a struggle, you know, and that's kind of where the weight started to gain. And it started to haunt me. But in high school, the reason I made it through was because of my coaches, my football coaches, and my football players on my team, and my friends, they had my back. Because some things happened to me in school, like some guy shit in my backpack, and I was so freaking pissed. So the football players finally just said, "You know what, enough's enough. This stuff is not going to happen anymore." And they really supported me through high school, and that's what made me get through it. And then as high school, you know, ended and I graduated and so forth, I still had never come out with my dad's stuff yet, that I was sexually abused by him as well. And it just started to put on layers and layers. And then my friends went their separate ways, you know, they went on more missions and so forth and things like that. And I started just to be in a dark place and everything else. And I was supposed to go on this mission for the church, and I came home early. And so all the negativity started all back again. And I was like, "What am I supposed to do with my life?" You know? So I went up and saw my dad, thinking he'd be the one that would support me, you know, and help me out. And I remember going in there and sitting down. And this is another thing I've never forgot, is I sat down that day and I said, "Dad, I don't know what to do, da da da." And he looked at me and he says, the first thing that's come out of his mouth, he goes, "Well, Bruce, this is your fault that I'm in here. Because now the family's not going to receive blessings and I'm not going to be able to get out of here." So at the time I was, you know, I thought he was the greatest and I didn't know what else to do. So I remember I drove home and I freaking went and bought the biggest bottle of alcohol that I could find and drank it all down, and I tried to kill myself. You know, I got a belt tied around my neck, put it on a loop, and lucky enough, my weight is the thing that broke that belt, you know, and brought me back to earth. And that's why I really do have a strong faith in God, because to me, he basically said, "You know what, it's not time for you to go. You got some stuff that you need to get done." And so I went to therapy and stuff, came out with all my dad's stuff, and I just lived a life, though, with passion, you know. I lived a life of igniting the day, you know. Like, I lived these five steps of ignite the day and what's toughness. And what igniting the day is like, okay, how many people, when they freaking wake up in the mornings and their alarm goes off, they don't freaking want to get up. They're tired or whatever, you know. It starts your day off wrong. So the way I started to do it is like, you know what, my alarm gets off, I'm going to fire out of bed as fast as I can with the covers, you know, and start the day off, and then go in the mirror, and if it's naked squats I gotta do, so what, that's what I'm gonna do, you know, pump myself up in the mirror and tell them I'm gonna conquer the damn day, and that's what I do, you know, and then it ignites my day, and then I walk out the door, and I try to get 3 positive comments in to 3 random people by 10 a.m., you know, because then it's like, yeah, we're getting the juices flowing, and plus you never know the impact that you're gonna have on somebody by just asking somebody how their day's going. And all this, so I live this kind of life, you know, and it's not perfect all the time. There are some days that I freaking don't want to get out of bed and I don't freaking get pumped on life, you know. I mean, everybody has those down days. But, you know, and so, and then toughness, you know, toughness is, you know, Jake, you know, is a tough dude in the weight room and stuff like that. And he's a tough dude in life, you know. I mean, he's over there just chilling. And, you know, he's a stud, and, you know, but I also think of toughness of somebody like, cancer survivors, you know, like those people are tough people, and you never see people that get cancer that freaking aren't tough, you know, like they take it head on. It's like people that get cancer are unique people, you know. They know that, oh, life is gonna suck, but you've never seen a cancer person ever get up in the day and say, "My life sucks and I'm not gonna live anymore and fight this." Now, do they have the moments? They have like a group of friends that they do poor me and feel sorry for themselves? Yeah, they do, because they know those friends, though, are going to listen and build them back up. It's okay to sometimes do a poor me a little bit, but you can't always play the victim card, and that's seriously what I've lived my whole life. You know, I can't use an excuse of, it was my dad's stuff why I put on the weight, you know? And yeah, it was a lot of layers and a lot of emotion, and that's what I've noticed now is what happened. I let it go, you know? That was what I was addicted to. and I turned to that. Instead of turning to alcohol or turning to drugs, I turned to food. And so I gained the weight, and I lived these steps in life, and I still was missing something. And then one day it happened when Chris Powell surprised me and stepped into my life. And it's a very emotional thing for me, of course, because it's changed my life completely, even more so of where I'm at today. And it just is, it was such a strong impact. And I remember that day he surprised me and he walked up to me and said, "Bruce, you know, I know the weight room. I know you putting in the work is not the problem. It's all up here for you." And then he said, "You know what else is one other thing? Is you have no integrity." And I was like, "What in the hell? Are you serious? Calling out my integrity right now, CP? I'll knock you out, dude." You know? But he said, "You know what you don't have integrity to? You don't have integrity to yourself." And like when you sit down and you think about it, that's the truth. You know, I wasn't a promise keeper to myself. I wasn't, you know, integrity to myself. You know, I would say, like, you know, if somebody else needed something, you know, or the football team that I coached, I would make sure I was there no matter what. But if I said I was going to go work out or do something like that or try to get my life together, I wouldn't care if I slept in and, "Oh, so what, I messed it. Stayed up all night, played Call of Duty. Who cares, you know?" You know, I didn't have any integrity. And when you start to keep your promises and you have integrity to yourself, that's when, oh, yeah, you're going to lose some weight. Or, oh, yeah, life's going to get better. Things are just going to happen. You know, I didn't care about a number on a scale once I started to figure that out. If I kept my integrity during the week and keep my promises during this time, I'm going to make my goals what I need to make. You know, so that changed my life forever. And it's been the greatest experience of my life. I met so many great people. And I look at my life and I wouldn't trade one thing in it. And what happened to me as a kid, I wouldn't trade that for the world, because I wouldn't. I'm just grateful for everything, because I wouldn't be sitting here like right now. You know, Mike, I wouldn't have met you. I wouldn't have met Tommy. I wouldn't have met Chris, the friends from the show, all those people now that are in my life. I would never met them. And that's why, so what happened to me as a kid, I wouldn't change, because I believe it gave me the passion that I have today, and I love people, and I never want somebody to feel like I did as a kid of not being loved, and I'll make sure, and I feel like it gave me a gift to make sure to show that unconditional love to others, and I'm so grateful for that, and so that's pretty much my story summed up in a quicker way, but yeah. And I'm passionate about life, and I would have never met freaking Jerry Rice. That was sweet. My episode, the Raiders rolled out the red carpet. Diehard Raider fan and everything. So, yeah, sorry to get emotional. I live, you know, I'm just a passionate dude, and I just live my emotions on my sleeve for sure. So, yeah, that's a little bit of my story, pretty much.
You're an amazing fucking person, dude.
It's
amazing. Was it that easy to talk about the first time?
No, you know, it wasn't, but when I got chosen to come to finals for casting, you know, I wanted a break in life. You know, that's what I felt was the break to come, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to throw it all out there, and this is my chance to open up and really share everything that has happened and change my life forever, and I feel like that's what got me over the top. You know, I look at the SEC football, for instance. You know, and you look at those guys, and the way they play football is because those dudes want out of their life so freaking bad, they're willing to do whatever it takes to get to the next level. You know, when you see a football guy that's come from a rough background or whatever, they push themselves so hard to limits that you were like, "What in the heck are they doing, dude?" Because they want it so bad. They want to change their life. They don't want to live that life anymore that they're living. So they work their ass off, you know, and they finally get a break in life. And I remember them asking me at casting, "Bruce, why should we pick you?" And I said, "Because I feel my mom, my brother, and me deserve a break in life. That's why." You know, I didn't give them some sugarcoat answer of like, "Well, because I want to get healthy and all this crap." I was just like, you know what? I believe I deserve a break in life. I freaking fought hard. I freaking done whatever it can to do it, and hopefully I get a break. And I got a break in life, no doubt about it.
You're absolutely deserving of that. That's for fucking sure. Shit, man.
So, yeah.
It's powerful.
Yeah.
So, what next? What's your, what are your goals, man?
So, you know, my goals are like, I love CrossFit, dude. And, of course, my dream is I want to someday compete. But, like, you know, that's really hard to get to, you know, but I can keep on trying and keep fighting every single day to get there. The game has changed so much, you know, but I was like, you know what? Change up. I got a one numeral thing that's 1 to 1,000,000 on my side that Chris has, and he asked me to get that tattoo. And we got to freaking, I got to inspire 1,000,000 people. I got to impact 1,000,000 people before I die. And each time I get like, so number one is me. So I'm able to cross that one off already. The next one is 100. Once you, and then the next one is like 500,000, 500,000, 100,000, 500,000, and then 1,000,000. And so when you well document it through, because it just can't be, oh, 1,000,000 people watch your episode and they got inspired. That's not how it works, you know? Like, we got to have, like, it's got to really be inspirational to people. And so that's my goal, is that's one of them, to inspire 1,000,000 people and impact their life. And my dream goal is to freaking, I want to sell out a basketball arena and get up there and do a speech, a motivational talk. And I'm going to freaking do it. You know, I'm going to become a motivational speaker. And that's, I'm not Tony Robbins. I'm not those guys, you know. But if you're going to come hear me talk, you're not going to hear a perfect speech, you know. But you're just going to get who I am. And hopefully you walk out of that day and someday do that. And physical goals, yeah, back to CrossFit. I freaking love it, dude. I want to do it. I want to be the first guy that's from 410 pounds to 200 pounds that does muscle-ups, that does handstand walks, and just is, like, ready to roll, you know? Like, that's what I want to do, and I've never seen that before. So I was like, why not do that, you know? Why not represent that now? You know, that would be freaking sweet.
Awesome.
So, and that's the way I can make it in life and inspire people. God didn't give me an education. God gave me my gift was freaking passion. That's what he gave me.
Yes, indeed, man. So you've already started to talk about it a little bit, but what if there are people out there with that are struggling, losing weight, or shit, it could be 1,000,000 different things.
Yeah,
struggling with drug addiction, whatever, even there's nothing really necessarily wrong in their life, but they have no goals. What actions can they take to start to reverse kind of the internal process?
Well, just like I said, you know, like Chris told me, is being a promise keeper and integrity, man. I mean, that's what it boils down to. That's the solution to everything. You know, I was thinking about it the other day, and I was like, man, if I went back and coached football again, I would look at some of my players from our team that's not stepping it up and playing at a state championship level. And now it boils down to what I'm thinking about is, I'm like, it's integrity. Like, they have no integrity. We have no integrity to just go to class on time and get good grades and just show up in the weight room when they're supposed to show up in the weight room, because they don't care. You know, they have no integrity to themselves. They're not keeping promises, you know. And now that I think about it, that's a message that we really need to share with our young athletes, for sure, is like to learn that, to install that, you know, and it's for everything. Like, when you're feeling down on yourself or whatever, it's because you're not keeping your promises or integrity. That's what it boils down to. Like, if somebody on Facebook or Instagram says, hey, Bruce, you look like you're gaining some weight, you're looking fat, it only affects me if I know I'm, like, not keeping my integrity. If I'm out eating a Butterfinger and eating like shit, you know, that's when it affects me. You know, but if I'm doing what I'm supposed to and living the life, then I don't care what that person says, you know? I could care less. But because it affects me, is because of my integrity. Because he doesn't know, he just called out my integrity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has no clue, but he did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, and that's what it boils down to with everything that you do, you know? And people that want to lose weight, you got to know why. Why do you want to lose weight? And it's not just your everyday answer of, I want to get healthy. No, that's not going to work. That's not going to get you to your place that you want to be. Why do you want to get healthy? Oh, I want to get healthy for my kids, you know. I want to be able to play. that's great. That's a little bit deeper. But why do you want to keep playing with your kids? You know, your why has got to be, and that goes for everything, not losing weight. Why do you want to do what you want to do? You know what I mean? It's got to be so deep inside of you that it just strikes a core in you and gets you so fired up that you're going to do whatever it takes to get there.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Fucking awesome. You want to talk a little bit about your, specifically what you did on the show? So, what did Chris have you do on day one?
Oh, man. Day one. So my episode was Fight or Flight Workout. There's this Red Rocks Amphitheater. And it's a big, big theater. You know, it's a big concert venue. And I was like 400 pounds. And he asked me to bear crawl down that whole damn thing.
What was it, like 50 yards?
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah, it's long. It's huge, man. It's at this steep thing like this. And so every time I'd come down on my elbow, it would hyperextend and stuff. And I came all the way down. And he was that voice in my head that I always didn't know. You know, he's my dad. He was like, that's not good enough. That's not, you know, boom, boom, boom. And then I tried to jump every single one. And they were, you know, for a 400-pound guy jumping those big old planter things, those steps things, they're good size. That was hard. So I jumped all the way up there, and then, you know, he kept piling it on. And I remember before it, I was like, man, he's not going to be able to break me in a fire flight workout. I can keep going for hours. I don't give a shit. I'll keep going. But gosh, he broke me faster than anybody from our season. I broke fast, but it worked out well. And I finally got to the top, and I was like, and I remember swearing at him. He swore to me, and I was like, you know what? Fuck you, Chris. I do enough for myself. You know, and he said, you know, we had to beep it out, of course, you know, and he was like, that's what I'm talking about. He pushed me in the back of the head, you know, and then all of a sudden I got a new thing of energy, and I went right down that freaking amphitheater again, and a lot of emotions came up, you know, and it was great, and it was an awesome day.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the time we're on a 90-day boot camp in Denver, and for 3 months, freaking, we're getting up every morning doing a two-hour shredder, which is a cardio session. It's like you got to keep your heart rate between a 140 and a 160 the entire time. Rather, if you have to walk and that keeps it in, good. But, you know, once you start doing it for a little bit, walking doesn't matter. You got to get going, you know. We did an incline day one day, and then the next day we did more of a flat day because it's not good on our joints being that big. But we'd run bleachers. And then right after that, you go to CrossFit, you know, and you do an hour of CrossFit. Then you come home, and then you go do another 2 hours of cardio fun time, like active cardio, you know, walking around places, you know, doing extra things to get it going. You work out 4 or 5 hours a day, and we did freaking 5Ks all the time every weekend. We did mud runs. We did all kinds of things, man, and I set the freaking record, you know, for male.
Obviously.
I set the record for male percentage lost ever for Chris, first 90 days. And I set the 6-month record in my.
What was that? In 3 months, you lost 126 or something like that?
121 pounds.
Nice.
So, yeah, I lost 32%. So, yeah. And then 6-month mark, I hit 44%. So, yeah, it was great. It was a great, great accomplishment, no doubt.
Just constantly moving, huh?
Yeah, constantly moving. And, you know, and it takes meal prepping, you know? It's not like the show wasn't just...
Let's see.
Yeah, we got a minor adjustment.
Screw it in a little bit.
This one right here?
Yeah, there you go.
Perfect.
There you go.
So we had, like the show doesn't pay but make your food. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to learn to cook. You have to learn to meal prep. You got to learn to go to stores and look at labels and what to eat and so forth. And we did a carb cycling diet. You know, we went Mondays. So Mondays was a high carb day. So the first meal, we would have a carb, healthy fat, and a protein. And then meal 2, 3, and 4, we'd have carb, protein, and veggie. And then for the nightcap, we'd pull a carb and have just a veggie, fat, and a protein. We do that Monday through Thursday. And then Friday, we'd only have a carb in the morning, and then the rest of the day we'd substitute those carbs that we usually have for healthy fat, and we'd do the same on Saturday, and then Sundays we'd weigh in.
And did you do that carb cycling the entire year?
Yep, the entire year. Mine got a little bit mixed up when I started to get down to like a plateau of a more fitter part. So I would, instead of doing Friday, Saturday, I would go Tuesday, no carb day like that, and then go high carb day on a Friday, and go no carb day on Saturday, and weigh in on Sunday.
Right. And do you remember like how many calories you were eating?
Yeah. So I started off when I first started was 2250, and then the lowest I ever got was 1800. You know, because you know if you work freaking work hard, you can eat. You know, and that's what it takes. You know, like I'm not saying that if you don't work hard, then you can go starve yourself, because that's the worst thing you can do. Because then your metabolism, because people don't realize that your metabolism's like a faucet. You know, like if you don't eat. If you starve yourself, that faucet gets really small, you know, and when you're not eating enough calories and so forth. But when you do eat and you eat the proper stuff, it makes that thing bigger and makes that drain be able to go, you know. It's like a tub, you know, and it drains out. But if you're not doing what you're supposed to and you're starving yourself, it's going to make that drain just go small, you know, and you're not going to make it. So... yeah, that's what I basically did my entire year, and it worked, obviously.
Tell them a little bit about what you continue to do.
Now, you know, I do carb cycling diets, you know, and different kinds of things, and now it's just, you know, obviously I don't do as much 2-hour cardio sessions every day, you know, and maintenance is harder than losing it. I mean, and another thing is like when you're losing weight, people are like, dude, you look great. But you know what? When you get the maintenance, nobody comes up to you and says, bro, you're killing it in maintenance. You're just crushing it, bro. You know, nobody tells you that. You're just walking around, hey, what's up, man? You know, you go through a whole year of everybody like, shit, dude, look at you, dude.
Man. You're kind of looking the same.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You're just like, oh, you know, hey, what's up, man? Yeah, can you tell I'm crushing it in maintenance or what? You know? Maintenance is hard, dude. Yeah, I've been putting in a lot of work. Why aren't you telling me I look good now, you know?
Yeah.
So, but it's going good. I mean, but it's a struggle every single day. I freaking love food. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no doubt. I love it. And I can eat a shitload of it, mm-hmm. you know? I can still pound with the best of it, mm-hmm. you know?
So, how do you keep yourself in check? Do you have, like, rules for yourself?
Well, you know, I mean, again, I mean, I keep bringing it up, but the integrity thing is big, mm-hmm. you know? And then, like, of course you mess up, but you just confess, recess, and recommit. Those three things that mm-hmm. Chris taught us, you know? I slip up every now and then, you know? I mean,
confess,
reassess, and recommit.
And recommit.
Yeah, right. So, like, you tell them what you did, reassess the situation of what we got to do to fix it so that doesn't happen again, and mm-hmm. freaking recommit. You know, whatever, what's that? That one guy, bodybuilder guy, that said, his quote was, you know, you're 1 meal away from being off your diet, mm-hmm. and then you're 1 meal away from being right back on your diet.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? And there's no such thing as freaking dieting. Like, you know, you can go look up so many diets, just eat clean, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know what's bad or good. McDonald's is not good, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, come on. Everybody tells you that.
Yeah.
You know, and meal prep. You know, I will say that when I was 400 pounds, I never knew what meal prepping was. Dude, I was like, prepare food? Are you kidding? What is that? You know, but it's the way to do it. That's what it takes. And the way that I fight off urges is I drink diet soda. You know, I drink it, love it.
Is that the first time you've let that out? Said that publicly?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That was a big secret we had.
Oh, no. I drink diet soda all the time. I mean, I've kind of opened it up a little bit, you know, that I've done it. I did one post one time about it, you know, but yeah, we need to start airing it out.
How'd they like that?
You know, people seem to respond pretty well, you know?
Imagine that.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people out there that drink soda.
Yeah.
You know, it's a pretty good market.
And a lot that were probably grateful to know that they can.
Exactly. I mean, that's what it takes.
Word. Going back for a second, we've talked a little bit, I think it was me and you, talked a little bit about, like, the emotional, you know, somebody can lose a bunch of weight, right, in a couple months, but they continue to go back because their emotional state hasn't changed yet. What do you think about that?
Yeah, there's some truth to that for sure, because, you know, like for instance, with our Destination Boot Camp people, like Sunday night, we're talking to them, they're like, I'm afraid to think what it's like to be thin, you know? And it's kind of weird to me to hear that in a way, because it's like, you don't know, you know? They're scared of the unknown. And I mean, I guess you're right. I mean, I don't know how to necessarily answer that question. I'm trying to process it. But I just feel like, you know, like, you don't know till you try, you know? Right. You don't know till you freaking lose the weight and see what... I mean, I think a lot of them think, oh, my stresses are all going to be gone when I lose the weight, but it's just going to be a different kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That's what it's going to come your way.
Right.
I mean...
The eating is like a coping mechanism,
yeah.
Right, for whatever's underneath.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. And you know what? You just got to face up, you know? Like, hell, you know, I used to think when I was going to be done with my year, oh, I'll be able to have every now and then a little bit of something, but mm-hmm. I've learned, no, mm-hmm. I can't, dude, you know? I mean, I do. I mean, we went and pounded the other day,
right.
You know, for my reset meal day, whatever you want to call it, you know, but, you know, it was a good time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I know now I just can't go up and down the chip aisle. If I go down the chip aisle, I'm grabbing a bag of Doritos, right. You know, and, you know, and the problem is I grab a bag of Doritos, it's going to be gone by the time we get to our destination,
yeah.
The entire bag.
So you got to get a little bag of Doritos for the ride home and a bigger bag for the house, right?
Yes, exactly.
Wait,
so then I keep that big bag in the house and at least I get the small one, you know? Yeah. That's the way to do it, yeah.
What's the go-to? Your go-to shit?
Like if I'm, like bad food?
Yeah.
Go-to bad food?
Yeah. Ooh. What are you going to go get?
Oh, dude.
Let's talk about
He's itching.
You know, I love some freaking... I mean, it's not like everyone's probably favorite, but I love pizza, dude. I can
get out pizza.
Huh?
What are you talking about? Who doesn't like pizza?
No kidding. That's what I mean. Everyone loves pizza.
Okay.
Like, I mean, one reset meal, like, I had this thing at Anthony's Pizza, and it was a big box, and I ate the whole thing, large pizza, no problem. I mean, it's going down.
Do y'all call this war stories? So in the drug recovery realm, we call that a war story.
I never thought of that.
Reminiscing about a fucking...
You know, we've never had the names, but we've obviously reminisced. Like, the day, like, my reset meal is, like, epic, dude. You know,
yeah.
I'm buying 4 candy bars when I go to the gas station.
Yeah.
My go-to, like, really candy thing is a Butterfinger, dude. Oh, my gosh. I love them. I love them.
Hell yeah.
Oh, I love them.
Hell yeah, man. Yeah, like, kind of like what you were saying a second ago about not going down the chip aisle. You know, one thing I was taught is, in my own recovery, is you got to change your people, places, and things, right? So
no question.
Get better influences. Don't go down the street to your drug dealer or the chip aisle.
Yeah.
Right? And don't surround yourself by the same ideas and institutions. And
surround yourself with people that are going to help you get to where you want to be. Like,
mm-hmm.
That was Chris's one of his biggest things when we told us before we left. In boot camp, he's like, hey, there's going to be people at home that want the big fat Bruce back, you know, like the jolly guy or whatever,
yeah.
You know, and not on board with what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
You know, and you just got to cut those people loose,
mm-hmm.
Because really they're not your friend,
right?
You know, because they really cared about you. And that's why I keep in touch with Chris and Heidi all the time now, and people that were in my journey, they're just going to have to put up with me for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Like you, Mike, now are, you know, are one of my best friends now. I mean, I really consider that. And Jake, it's been freaking awesome, dude. Like, I seriously feel like we're boys, you know, and there's no doubt we've came really close the last 6 months, and like, you're just stuck with me now, dude, you know. You're just, and that's the way it is for those people now with the show. They usually are like, yeah, you know, we move on to the next
right.
season. But me, it's just, I just stick with it and stay with them. And that's why I had to move to Denver and change my whole surrounding. You know, I love Utah, but I needed to get out of there and change everything up.
It's a good spot for you, man.
It is. Things are working out.
Yep.
You know?
You're on your way to inspiring 1 million people.
Yeah, that's the goal. Got to get it done.
Word. Anything else you want to say before we wrap it up?
You know, just, I think the reason that Rich Froning retired from individuals is because he knew I was coming. And he was intimidated.
I'm glad you said it.
You glad? It needed to be put out there, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it just needed to be put out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we threw head to head down, him and Frazier. You know, we're going up against me and Tommy. I did everything I was supposed to. I did everything I could,
mm-hmm.
But Tommy was. I don't know what happened to him that day.
Yeah, he's not that good on a team.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
he's great by himself. But yeah. He's not, you know.
Individually,
if he can't win things with a guy like you, then.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I was Michael Jordan, and he was like Steve Kerr or something, you know? I mean, that's even, I might be giving him too much that day, you know?
Yeah. He really shit the bed. I saw it.
God, I saw it. You know? But hey, we'll live to fight another day. And hopefully he regroups and comes back strong.
Awesome, man. All right, dude. Where can we find you on social media?
Oh, you can find me on at Bruce Pitcher, and then on my Facebook at Bruce Pitcher Extreme Weight Loss. Twitter is at Bruce Pitcher. I don't use Twitter that much, but I'll send a tweet out.
You don't tweet? Come on, man. You got a tweet.
I got a tweet. I got a better tweet.
You got some fucking one-liners, dude.
Yeah, I need to. You know, I need a tweet.
Get pumped every fucking morning.
Yeah. Get pumped, dude. That's my thing. I will hashtag that all the time.
You got a website or anything like that?
No, I'm working on it. I need it. Working on a book, too.
If people want to contact you for a motivational talk or something like that, how can they reach you? How can they find you?
Just message me on Facebook or our personal message on Instagram, and then we can get it all arranged, and boom, I'll be there ready to roll.
Okay. Last thing before we wrap up. Fuck one, kill one, marry one. Me, Jake, Tommy.
Okay. All right. Let's see.
We'll give you some time. I want this well thought out. Unless you've already been thinking about it.
No, I'm not. Yeah, that would be kind of weird, you know? I don't even know if I want to say that, actually, right now.
Bro, come on, man. It's just, it's just me and you.
I don't even know if I want to say that,
you know? Well, you can say it, man. You can always, you know? Yeah, we can always go and edit this.
You know what? I think you got to, I think you'd have to kill Tommy. You know?
I'm glad you fucking said it.
Yeah. Love the guy, but I think he would like to go down like that.
Yeah.
You know, like, Tommy, you know?
Yes. No, he definitely does not want to get fucked.
No.
No.
You know?
And y'all are just not compatible in a relationship like that.
Yeah.
Like a marriage.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, the hard part here.
I don't know if I want to go there, you know?
You could do it, man.
No, I'm good.
Okay.
is, you know what? It's kind of a rough situation. Awesome. Yeah, because we're like, we're also like in a hotel room, the three of us right now.
That's a good point.
And we're all almost going to have to share a bed as it is, so that would be kind of weird, you know? So, that, at least, yeah.
Enough said.
Yeah,
enough
said. Exactly.
Appreciate that.
I like it, though, but at least, hey, Tommy went out with a bang.
Yeah. So good. So good. All right, brother. Appreciate it.
Yep, thanks.